He morehu aho. In 2023, I began writing about kupe while in Te Whanganui a Tara on a writing residency. During that time, I was invited to speak about Ana Iti's video installation piece, A Dusty Handrail Down the Track, at Adam Art Gallery. Seeing a connection between how I approach time in my writing in a non-linear way, like a spiral, and that of Iti's video, which is time and text-based, the gallery thought I might be able to formulate a personal response to her work and relate it to my own. What ultimately led me to accept the offer is another connection. Ana Iti is Te Rārua, like me. While Kupe is the great explorer ancestor of all Māori, he arrived in Aorohe at the Hokianga Harbour in Northland, where he first established mana whenua in Aotearoa. I hadn't met Ana at that time, and having the opportunity to reflect on her work felt like our tūpuna had drawn us together. I could draw immediate parallels between my writing project and her piece, which incorporates text by Kerry Holm, J.C. Sturm, and June Mitchell. Kaituhi Māori creatively whakapapa back to these wahine toa, and the title of the work, A Dusty Handrail Down the Track, speaks to following in our ancestors' footsteps while they hold us up and guide us as we move forward. Kia whakatōmuri te haere whakamua. I walk backwards into the future with my eyes fixed on the past. There are many variations of this whakatauki which reflect the Māori worldview that the past is always in front of you. Moana Jackson said, "For our notion of time is whakapapa based, and like whakapapa, it has its own sense of never-ending beginnings in which time turns back on itself in order to bring the past into the present and then into the future. So now I return, or perhaps spiral forward, to my whanaunga Ana's work once again to respond to her video piece, I Am a Salt Lake." Iti grew up in Blenheim near Kāpara Te Hau, the salt lake of the work's title, but hails from Hokianga, where kupe first landed. Kāpara Te Hau, like so many other places around the motu, holds stories about the impact of his circumnavigation of Aotearoa. According to Rangitāne tradition, their tūpuna Te Hau cultivated kumara gardens there. After Te Hau impeded his explorations, kupe invoked a tsunami through Karakia, which wiped out the gardens to form the lake. Before the arrival of the Pākehā, Kāpara Te Hau provided a readily available food source, as the lake was once abundant with a diverse array of bird life. In this work, the artist traces lines with her fingertip through condensation on a window pane, like we've all done as tamariki. Her drawing echoes the pattern on the outer stucco walls of her house, which recall, along with the prevailing damp, a New Zealand childhood. Over time, the undulating, repetitive lines Iti gently but persistently draws stack up and become reminiscent of the zoomed-in walls of a fingerprint, a tohu of identity pressing up against the unrelenting, yet ultimately fragile surface of the glass. There's a sense of the artist being shielded from the outside world, but also contained, partially obscured from view. The window is a way to see out, but also a way to look inward. Intense interiority is suggested, coupled with the urge to make a mark, to communicate, to be seen. In a form related, visually, metaphorically, to that of the window, art itself is a portal that allows us to transcend time and space, not only to connect with each other, but to our ancestors and future descendants. Maya Morrison Middleton writes about this continuously unfolding dialogue between tūpuna and uri in an essay about Te Rā, the only remaining Māori sail in existence, and how through reconnecting with it, contemporary kairaranga have reclaimed ancient weaving techniques of our sea-voyaging forebears. Maya writes, "If Te Rā is a portal to the past, it is also a portal to a future abundant with mātauranga Māori." Te Rā has for hundreds of years been kept oceans away from home, locked in the British Museum and hidden from view. But during Te Rā's sadly temporary return home to Aotearoa, her Māori has been reanimated by Māori hands. In Iti's video, the gradual construction of lines from the bottom to the top seem to symbolise the artistic journey and the accumulation and development of a distinct personal language over years of sustained effort. Ana's drawings in the window is a kind of writing, in that she too seeks to communicate through an abstract system of signs and gestures, and often incorporates text in her work. Creating a body of work takes time and dedication, much salty sweat and many tears. It is often a solitary process that cannot be rushed. Writing my short story collection, Kohine, took 5 years, from writing the first line of the page to releasing it into the world. Writing is revealing. A book is a window into a writer's mind. While it was deeply satisfying to complete my first book, publication was nerve-wracking, terrifying even. Using the raw materials of my lived experience and psyche in an intensely personal search for meaning and making that journey public felt inherently dangerous to me. The indistinct form of the artist drawing on the window is interspersed with stills and video of Kāpara Te Hau, within which a series of shallow ponds have been used for salt production since the 1940s. This, too, is a lengthy process. Seawater is pumped from Te Moana Nui Au Kiwa through a series of ponds where it gradually crystallizes into salt for harvest, an abstraction of which is shown in a preparatory drawing for this piece. Like an artist distilling and refining ideas over time, the salt is drawn out from the vast potential of the ocean, the origin and source of all life. Salt was once an extremely valuable resource and is still a sacred means of purification in some cultures. Salt is essential for life, and a parallel could be drawn to the role of art. I'm thinking primarily of the creator's relationship to art, although this may also hold true for those who engage with the work. In a recent speech, Ngāti Tuwharetoa musician Shane Carter spoke of how, as a disenfranchised young person, art gave him an outlet, validation, and a voice. It proved that I existed. It's not being overly dramatic to say self-expression can literally save lives. Ngāti Kahungungu, Ngāti Raukawa Ngai Tahu Kaumātua, Dr. Piri Shasha said, "He toi whakairo, he mana tangata." These two quotes illustrate the profound impact art has on both individual well-being and societal values. Art connects us to others and sustains us, and perhaps, like salt, it is also ultimately drawn in a complex and intricate series of steps from the moana that makes all life possible. Harking back to Te Rā, described as He Taonga Morehu by Ngā Huia Te Awe Kotoku, Te Arawa, Tūhoe, Ngāpuhi and Waikato, Mā Tauranga Māori helped our tūpuna survive their voyage across oceans and is key to our survival today. Te Moana Nui Au Kiwa is the great connector of the oceanic cultures of the Pacific. It is our sacred highway and a living link to our tangata moana ancestors and cousins. Some of Iti's video was shot while driving through the landscape that surrounds the lake and is juxtaposed with poetic text in the first person. The first line reads, "I'm trying to connect across two islands in a strait. I hear the voices of tūpuna, who traversed vast distances across Te Moana Nui Au Kiwa from Hawaiki to Aotearoa centuries ago. I'm reminded that their haerenga was fraught with danger, as the text later frets. How to go? How to go safely? As uri, we are here on this whenua as the living embodiment of our ancestors and their journey, and we're all navigating our connections to that today while living and working within a settler colonial context. This, of course, has many challenges. How does one stay safe? I attended a wānanga recently drawing together Māori creatives in Tamaki Makaurau, and there was plenty of kōrero around this. Many spoke of feeling isolated and even silenced while working within the constraints of Te Ao Pākehā, and of a longing and need for spaces in the city where we can speak openly about our struggles and dreams while steeped in whakaaro Māori. We spoke about the need to go back and engage with our respective iwi, to ask how we can collaborate with our communities. I thought of my own desire to return to my papakāinga, pangaru, in Hokianga, and kōrero with my whānau about the pukapuka I am writing. This leads me to another line in Anna's text, saying hello and goodbye. Te Hokianga Nui a Kupe, the place of Kupe's great return, is where he arrived in Aotearoa and also departed from to return to Raiatea. When asked if he would ever come back, he ambiguously replied, "E hoki Kupe? Will Kupe return?" Today the phrase is used as a subtle but firm refusal. I see a parallel with Iti's work. While it exudes restraint, it is also determinedly staunch and unwavering in the pursuit of creating an artistic language that speaks to the trauma of colonization. I felt this when first encountering a dusty handrail down the track, as elements of this work recall the language of censorship. Some of the selected text seems to be redacted, reminiscent of official documents and restriction, and the words chosen evoke sadness and a simmering anger. With I'm a Salt Lake, it's pertinent to consider that while pre-colonisation Māori had a conception of saltiness, the word mai taitai means tasting of salt or brackish. Our tūpuna never had to extract salt, as their sodium needs were met through eating kaimoana. Upon the introduction of salt by Pākehā, some Māori initially attributed the emergence of new illnesses to eating salted food, though this was due to a lack of immunity to infectious diseases brought by settlers. The artist's slow and meditative tracing on the window reminds me of when I visited a Zen rock garden in Kyoto before leaving Japan after living there for years. Austere spaces where sand or gravel is raked to represent ripples in water, these gardens provide a gateway to contemplation. Zen philosophy guides us to connect with nature through distinct aesthetic principles, including wabi, a stark simplicity, sabi, an appreciation of impermanence, and yugen, an awareness of the hidden beauty of the universe. To my mind, Iti's art has similar qualities. In this piece, Iti speaks with the voice of the lake, ko o te taiao, ko te taiao kuo. Ripples across the surface of the lake feature in the video, evoking the Buddhist notion of one's mind being like a lake. While ripples portray the mind as lightly agitated, kāpara taho translates as wind-ruffled waters, it remains calm and present at its depth. There is a stillness at the surface of Iti's work, but it is a calm undercut with tension. How will I go? How to stay safe? Iti's text reiterates concerns about how to press on and stay whole. I feel the same apprehension in my own writing practice. There's a strong sense in the voice of the lake that a being is trying to expand and connect across space and time, but being exposed to the elements could come at great cost to the self. Hope the water only sucks out lumps and chunks and sand-sized fragments out of me over time. Hope the waters don't get so strong, rise up and wash me away, bang me back against the land and bury me in the seabed. Ultimately, this work speaks to me about survival. In the present context of the New Zealand government seeking to actively undermine and erase the rights of tangata whenua, Indigenous people globally pose the most significant resistance to the exploitation of natural resources. Despite the many challenges of being an artist, which is often a lonely and precarious career, as ringatoi, kaituhi, as Māori, we press on, wayfinding, mark-making, and using our voices, because we must. Our tūpuna demand it. It is part of becoming a good ancestor. Our haerenga continues as we navigate changing seasons and landscapes, guided by our tūpuna across oceans of time. We persist until we reach, even past that, to tears-filling wind-blown eyes. In the words of Kupe, e kore e ngaro, he takere waka nui.